Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting ccnh.org.
For those of you who are visiting, I'm Ralph Paul. I'm one of the elders here at Christ Church. Our interim preacher is in South Africa right now. So we are filling in for him through the month of June. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider what Scripture has to say and what it means to us in a different time and a different culture, we ask that you would guide our thoughts, open our hearts to the call you have on our lives. Lord, let my words help clarify our understanding and not get in the way. Thank you for all you have done for us today and through your people down through the ages. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture I chose this morning is from 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to read from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Scripture, which he titled The Message. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. Peterson simply has a way with words that makes things clearer sometimes for us. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings as weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. You've already put in your time in that God-ignorant way of life, partying night after night, a drunken, profligate life. Now it's time to be done for the good. Of course, your old friends don't understand why you don't join with the old gang anymore, but you don't have to give an account to them. They're the ones who will be called on the carpet and before God himself. Listen to the message. It was preached to those believers who are now dead, and yet even though they died, just as all people must, they will still get in on the good life that God has given in Jesus. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things that God has given you, passing them around so that all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. That's what Peterson had to say. Or had to paraphrase. Everybody who enjoys suffering, raise your hand. About what I thought. I think very few of us would choose to suffer if we could avoid it. Of course, we know that suffering is a natural part of life for all of us. We talked about some of it a few minutes ago. We may suffer because of injury or pain. We may suffer because of choices we made in regard to career or employer. We may suffer because of serious illness or the loss of a loved one. However, that's not the sort of suffering that Peter is writing about here. Peter says that we are to think like Jesus. From the gospel accounts, we learn that Jesus was all about sharing and teaching godly living with the people he encountered. His examples and conversations were always instructional in nature. He didn't talk about trivia, so far as we know. Most of all, he wasn't interested in trying to say what others wanted to hear. We might say today that he was not concerned with being politically correct. It was only about truth, and Jesus, more than anyone else, knew about truth. He always spoke the truth. It was the truth of God's word that led to his suffering. Ultimately, that's what led to his death. And what a horrible death it was. If you've ever read anything about death by crucifixion, you know it is perhaps the most terrifying means of death ever devised by man. Think like Jesus. He knew where his words and actions would take him. Indeed, he would suffer. Yet he continued without hesitation towards his goal. And if suffering was the price, then so be it. So what then does God expect from us? Does he want us to suffer too? We find one answer in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, again from the Message. So now, Israel, what do you think God expects from you? Just this. Live in his presence in holy reverence. Follow the road he sets out for you. Love him. Serve God, your God, with everything you have in you. Obey the commandments and regulations of God that I'm commanding you today, and live a good life. And in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, Jesus said, it is necessary that the Son of Man proceed to an ordeal of suffering, be tried and found guilty by the religious leaders, high priests, and religious scholars, be killed, and on the third day be raised up alive. Then he told them what they could expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, of finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? Jesus makes it clear that if we want to be his disciple, then we can expect some difficulties and even danger along the way. We may suffer, though we would all hope not like Jesus. We know that the original 12 apostles, nearly all of them, met a terrible death. Their focus was to live as Jesus taught them, not to die comfortably in a rocking chair with a tall, cool drink in their hand. And if sharing the gospel message offended others and brought hardship and suffering, that was not a deterrent to them. Of course, like all good leaders, Jesus asked nothing of his followers that he was not willing to do himself. So if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, then don't be surprised if there's some suffering along the way. It may be the cost of discipleship for some of us. Think like Jesus. Some years ago, I was listening to the broadcast of a presentation to young people about serving in the mission field. The speaker told of some of his own experience, including some of the difficulties and also the excitement and immense satisfaction of serving Christ in this way. He then opened the floor for questions, and one student asked about safety and the potential danger of being in a foreign country and speaking out about Jesus among people who might be less than friendly. She seemed to have a genuine concern in this regard. The speaker's answer was very clear and very direct. He said, if safety and protection from danger is a major concern for you, then perhaps the mission field is not where you should consider serving. Here at Christ Church, we set apart the first Sunday of every month to pray as a congregation for the persecuted church. These are people who are genuinely suffering for their faith. Presenting Jesus is not popular in many cultures, and severe penalties are handed down to those who do. Just last week, we considered the plight of Miriam Ibrahim, a Sudanese woman who was sentenced to death for marrying a Christian man and proclaiming her faith in Christ. As of yesterday morning, on the news that I could find, the earlier report that she would be freed turns out to be bogus. She is not going to be freed. So we need to continue to pray for this lady. Some of you may remember a young couple who visited us here at CCA a few years ago, Seth and Lauren Vetrano Wilson. They were here and on their way to serve the Lord in Thailand. And they continue to serve there. But if you've been following the news, you know that a coup just took place there, and the military has taken over the government. What that means for Seth and Lauren and their children is uncertain at this time. Though it has not affected them as of a couple of weeks ago when I last heard, those kinds of government changes don't always go well. Suffering for the sake of Christ is very real and all too common. Jesus told us it would not be easy, yet where persecution exists, the church grows and becomes even stronger. Some of you may remember the story of Jim Elliot, who was killed by dangerously hostile Ecuadorian natives for trying to share the gospel with them. He once said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He had the correct perspective on life, as Peter writes of it in this passage. So Peter reminds us that we need to be prepared to suffer if necessary as we live and share our lives actively as Christians. Near the end of this passage, Peter tells us that the end of the world as we know it is near. He didn't know how near, and neither do we. That's not for us to know. But suppose you did know with certainty that the end of everything was only a very short time away, perhaps a few weeks or 6 months. What would you do? Go out and buy a new car? Bunch of new clothes? Maybe take a trip to Europe or some other far-off place? Or would you spend that time with family and friends? Perhaps friends you've not seen for some time. Maybe trying to restore a broken relationship. Simply loving. Making certain that your relationship with Jesus was on a solid footing. With whom would you want to share Christ? What's really important to you? We don't know when that wrap-up will come to pass. Jesus told us that it will come like a thief in the night when we least expect it. So don't waste a lot of time and energy on useless speculation. Our Heavenly Father, in His infinite wisdom, knew that it would not be good for us to know when the last days would come. We're only temporary visitors on this planet. We're not on vacation here. There are spiritual battles to be fought and won for Jesus. Learn to think like He did. Peter makes four significant points in this brief passage. First, he says, stay awake in prayer. Pay attention. Don't be fearful. Don't panic. Stay calm. Don't try to understand every detail. Prayer is our way of staying connected to Jesus. Remember, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sought guidance from his heavenly Father. And if Jesus needed guidance, I think it's fair to say we do too. Second, Peter says, love one another, often repeated by Jesus. Love should be the hallmark of the Christian life. Recently, I came across a quote attributed to Mahatma Gandhi. I didn't say that right. Mahatma Gandhi. Got an extra syllable in there. It is reported that he once said, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ. How Christ-like are you, or am I? We are his representatives here on earth. How others perceive us may be the way they will perceive Christ. Peter told us to be hospitable. Peterson was a little more direct. Provide a meal or a bed for someone in need, and do it cheerfully. I don't recall Jesus being grumpy because he had to feed 5,000 hungry folks who came to listen to him teach. He made sure there was plenty for all and even some leftovers. Finally, he said, be generous with the gifts God has given you. You all have gifts and abilities that God has given you. Every one of you. Yes, you do. There are things you probably enjoy doing, and it's likely that you do them well. It's difficult to do something well if you don't like it. Perhaps you knit. You might knit a sweater for somebody who has a need. Maybe you're a teacher. You could teach somebody a new skill. Some of you know that I like to work with wood, and I've had the pleasure of building a variety of items for others. When I take those pieces of wood and shape them into something useful, I'm using some of the gifts that God has given me. And when the benefactor says thank you, that's my opportunity to point out that it is God who gave me the ability to do that. In a sense, each of us is an evangelist. When we offer to help someone, we're allowing the love of Jesus to shine through us, through our gifts and our abilities and our love, our hospitality, even our prayers. It's been said many times that we may be the only Bible that other person will ever see. Our actions often speak much louder than our words. If you see a need, do it if you can. Don't wait for someone to ask you. If you're out of your comfort zone, ask Jesus, and he will help you. So in this short passage, Peter tells us about Christ as a model lifestyle for us to strive toward. He held nothing back. He did what had to be done, and it cost what it cost. Ridicule, persecution, and finally death. We are called as followers of Jesus to live our lives fully as well. If our every word and action is based on the truth of Scripture, we can expect to be ridiculed, to be unpopular, maybe persecuted, or even forced to suffer in this horrible secular world. But even when it is unpopular, we are to think like Jesus, to stand firmly for the gospel, to bring glory to God, to be a bright, shining light in a very dark world. Now, I know this is not easy, and we don't have the power to do it on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, not just in our doing or speaking, but in our thinking as well. Correct actions begin with correct thinking. So don't forget to ask Jesus to help you think like he would have you think. If the Lord is asking us to do something, He will provide the power and strength to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what you ask of us may be hard. It may be difficult. It may be costly. Yet what you have provided for us far outweighs anything you ask of us. As we spend the short time you have given us here on earth, we seek your guidance and courage to be the people you intend for us to be and show your face to a fallen world. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org and subscribe to our channel through the Sermoncast link or speaker icon. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.